Go ahead and open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, you usually hear this being read around Christmas time. However, I think it's kind of appropriate for today. Let me see where. We want to go to verse 26. I'm going to read a relatively lengthy passage, but that's okay. We sit and listen to monologues from comedians who spew garbage out of their mouth a lot longer than the Word of God, so... Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying." Okay, now how many of you women... you're betrothed and you got some strange dude standing at your front door saying you're blessed and highly favored. He just helps himself and walks into your house. Yeah. Yeah, I know several of you would just shoot the guy, okay? So we'll just get that off. Sick the dog on him or something. "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her," do you remember how many times she would stop and consider what somebody had said? She pondered many times what Jesus had said. They thought about it because they did not fully understand what was going on. How many of you ladies, I'll say ladies in particular, how many of you, if you'd have fully understood what motherhood was really about, would have went on and said, "You know what, I think I'm going to just remain single. I'm not having kids, ain't no way, shape, how, nor form." I forget who, what's that?
I'm not raising my hand.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and I don't remember who it was. It might have been somebody in here, but I don't remember. And they said, "Listen," oh, I know who it was. "We're the ones that got the stretch marks. We're the ones that used to be this size, and now we ended up this size." I said, "Well, okay, I'll give you that." I said, "I used to be that size, and..." Yeah, we ain't talking about that. Yeah, exactly. That's just it. So you ladies don't realize, JD's right. What you didn't eat, we had to. We went out and got it. Although I will tell you, I never did develop the desire for pickles the way my wife did. Joshua loves pickles. And I said, "Well, it's a given, because when Mom found out she was pregnant with you, Mount Olive Pickles in North Carolina could not keep up with those big gallon jars that I had to keep buying. I mean, we were putting those things out, I mean, two or three a week. She was, how can you eat that many pickles?" She was eating pickles. So, but anyhow, "And behold," verse 31, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord of God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to him, How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." I've known many women said, "Doctors say there's no chance," and she's teaching a class this morning, but a friend of Angela's, and I think maybe somebody in here, was somebody we've been praying for and we're on the floor? Yeah, it was. Six miscarriages. They've got a baby
boy, baby boy now. Don't tell me what the doctors say is impossible. They were telling her to give up, but they kept trying, and now they have a baby boy. And I personally believe they've got six babies waiting for them in heaven. So, but anyhow, let me find out where I just left off. Verse 38, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, let's stop and think about that. And like I said, this is kind of a Mother's Day message. If an angel showed up to any of us guys and said, behold, you're going to give birth to a child, we're going to ask a whole lot more than how's that going to happen than seeing how, it doesn't matter if we know a man, the plumbing's all wrong. And but somebody shows up to your door and says, you're going to give birth. Didn't bother telling what all was entitled with this particular child. This was not just a normal child. This was to be the Son of God. And she willingly accepted. Now, I believe God knew that she would do it. Her heart was right, but he gave her the option. See, everybody says, well, God's will is, you know, you either do it or don't. Well, you have to do it. No, you don't. He gives you the choice. I think I spit that out right. Like, by the way, I'll throw a disclaimer in here right now. Last 2 days have been very long days and very short nights. So if I say something that might be off in left field somewhere, tank it up to about 3 hours of sleep. So, anyhow, but she accepted the challenge of raising the Son of God. Now, most of us look at, oh man, how am I going to raise a child? I feel like a child myself. You know, I know a lot of you were a lot younger. I mean, I was 25 by the time Justin was born. I know some of you were even younger than that, and you probably still felt like a child. I did. At 25, I'm thinking, okay, do I really know what it takes to raise a kid? Do I have what it takes? And, you know, Angela had been her desire for a long time. We weren't quite ready when we first got married. You know, when I look back, especially at the pictures, we really were kids. You know, 20 years old. But here's a gal who we've probably figured is in her teens. And now she's being told, you're going to be a mother. Her life's about to change. But it was the manner of the greeting that really caught her attention. Highly favored and blessed of the Lord among all women of the earth. I dare tell you, because you can read later, actually the verse that was used on the video was 42, said, talking about Elizabeth, she said, then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. I think that could be a blessing to any woman because of the fact you are blessed. You get to bring forth the life. You do carry it. There is pain. There is some turmoil. Now, and I will tell you, and I can promise you, the fathers can agree, there's pain on our side too. Just not the same. What's that? Next 18 years. You do not get within arm's reach of a woman who's in labor. Just stay out of that way. Unless the doctor knocks them out, then you're okay. But there's a lot of stuff that goes into giving birth. And women can talk, they can tell you. And as I've understood, that's the closest a person can come to death is that much pressure and stress on their body. And yet, it brings forth life. God created it. He didn't create it with the pain. We read about that in the book of Genesis. The pain came because of the fall of man. But he created it so that life would continue. I dare say again that Elizabeth's greeting could be used to any woman. That's why I went ahead and put it up there. Blessed are you among women.
Because I'll tell you, today it's not an uncommon thing to see women who are more career-oriented. I don't have time for a family. I'm looking to be fulfilled by a job. Now listen, I'm not slamming anybody that's got a job, okay? Let's not go getting goofy on that. It's particularly in today's society, you just about have to have two incomes in a lot of cases. And if you're able to swing it without it, I praise God that you're able to do that. But a lot of people, we're not even going to get married. We're just going to shack up together. There's no commitment there. What are you going to do when you're about 70 years old and he or she decides, hey, I'm tired of being with you. You just spent the last 30, 40 years of your life with somebody and they walk out on you. And I heard somebody once say this, I don't remember who it was, said, you know, you don't want to have children. Who's going to take care of you when you're old? Oh, the government will take care of me. I was looking for somebody to tell jokes earlier, so you can laugh at that one. The government can't take care of you. They won't be able to take care of you. Your children, when you sow love into them, you will receive that love back, regardless of what you think. Children are a great ground to sow seeds of love. They will give it back. So when she greeted Mary, she was saying the same thing the angel said. Blessed, highly favored. Now I believe the Amplified may even show this as being, besides highly favored, but being to be envied of all women. You got to understand, especially at this time in life, it was basically, you might as well just had horns on top of your head if you were a woman and could not carry a child. It was a real blessing to be able to give birth. And a lot of women had been stricken barren because of things. Now, today, like I said, we've gotten into a society that's more focused on I want this, I want that. Well, praise God, you can be like Elizabeth. We don't really know how old she was. It just said she was old, and she gave birth. Now today, you get old. After 35, we need to start taking tests for Down syndrome. I know with Justin, Angela was 35, and doctor, great doctor. Aborting the baby was never an option. And he said, I only bring this up. He says, I know your faith, but I only bring this up because it is what is expected in the medical community once a woman's over 35 is to do these tests. I said, well, it don't matter. He said, I agree. So we never did take tests. And obviously we have a perfectly healthy child. I was getting ready to say normal. But I cannot promise that. He's normal. He's just sometimes a little high strung. I think the last time you had him, Joshua had put 3 or 4 teaspoons of sugar in his cereal. I found out it was Joshua who did that. Joshua came to me later after service. He said, Dad, that was me that put all that sugar in Justin's cereal. He can pour his own milk, but he didn't put his own sugar in, so... But because of that, the earth's going to explode because of the population. We need population control. That was never part of God's plan. Does anybody remember what God said in the beginning? Be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say, well, you need to control the population. You need to abort. China still pushes it. I think it's 1.8 children you're allowed to have in China? Where do you come with 8/10 of a child? India, they are still killing the little girls. Do people realize what happens when you kill off all the girls? You just became a dead-end society. How many of you have ever seen the movie Ice Age?
I think it was particularly two. Remember the two rhinos? Did you ever notice anything funny about them? And I emphasize the word funny. Yeah, they are. They're funny. Lightner loafers, whatever you want to use. I'm not too much on being politically correct, because the word gay means happy. Especially after watching the Kentucky Derby yesterday, and it says everybody's gay. It means happy. But in that particular case, they showed two rhinos you don't find in the fossil record for a reason. Two males cannot recreate the society. They die out. Or I think it was the dodo birds or whatever it was. Whoop, there just went the last female. She fell off the cliff. Same deal. There was it. Dodo birds went extinct. God created mankind to reproduce after his kind. Now, you've heard me say this before, and I'll emphasize it again. It did not mean that man was restricted to, okay, well, you know what? I know you like that Indian girl, but she's Indian. We got to keep our bloodline clean. That's a crock of baloney. I'm just going to mellow that out for you. Inside of Adam, the DNA for every race was there. Adam was the ultimate mutt. You know, I joke about being a mutt. You know, I know I've got Irish on one side, Scottish on the other side, and now we know that there are two different tribes of Indians. And there might be some Swedish in there somewhere. And Joshua, I mean, it just gets, the gene pool just gets real mixed up the further down it goes. So the truth of the matter is, God intended for mankind to continue. And it's something when you go overseas, and I know Pat and Keith and JD and anybody that's been over into an Asian country, you can tell a child who is birthed of a white father. They stand out. Honestly, and I'm not trying to be act cool here or whatever. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. They're some of the most beautiful girls and some of the best looking guys in their country. And it's not because of us. It's because the gene pool got broke up. You understand? Bob and Karen, they've periodically they have to bring in a new cat. They get a bunch of cats running around there that are blind, that don't know what to do. They start becoming deformed. And God meant for mankind to mix. You're not going to create an alien. But there was a time in life, oh, if you're not European, you know, you're not white, or you're not Scottish. I've been watching, like I said, been watching this show on the BBC, and the one young hand on the estate was talking to the gilly, and you know, the gilly said, he said, you know, up here we're all related. And the young man said, oh, that is great, that's cool. And the old gilly said, no, I don't think you understand. That's really not cool that we're all related. In other words, we don't get out of the mountains very often. We've talked about family trees that don't fork. You end up with problems. But God saw in his infinite wisdom, he looked down and he said, you know what? Mankind can be awesome. I always thought, man, if somewhere along the line they found a Kenyan to mix me with, maybe I would have grown just a few more inches. But no, the hillbillies had to keep breeding, and my grandma was about that tall. Guess whose legs I inherited? My grandpa, we look at pictures of him, he looks like he's about 6 foot tall. But no, I inherited grandma's legs. And as a matter of fact, most of the my dad did, my uncle did, and some of the other ones turned out like my other uncle. But giving birth to anything is what God called us to do. He did not call us just to come down here and sit around, twiddle our thumbs and say, hey, let's build a house, let's build a garden unto ourselves. He said, let's go down and populate the earth. As a matter of fact, if you read your Bible and really read it, it says repopulate. Go down and repopulate the earth. Let's bring life into it. Let's bring mankind into it. Let them have possession of it. Now, like I said before, I'm a firm believer in taking care of what we've got. Okay? If you're going to mine and dig a big ugly hole, there's stuff that you can put, you're taking off and putting back in. It's called reclaim, reclamation ground. Plant some trees back in it. Don't let it just become an arid desert. But God put us here to take care of the earth, not the other way around. And, oh, well, you know, Pastor, there's 300 million Americans. There's only 300 million Americans. Oh, but Pastor, China's got population problems. You know what China's problem is? Everybody lives in the city. Come on, where do you think the problems go? People decide, I'm not moving too far away from Mama or Papa. Well, take them with you. Okay, you can rethink that. But you see what I'm saying? Actually, I know this is an eclectic message. It's all over. It's hitting all kinds of things today. But the basic point of it is, women, you are blessed of God to be able to bring forth life. That's why we call the earth Mother Earth. Although I will point out the fact that all God did was took dirt from the earth to make our flesh. Just so you know. The earth could not give life to us. It took God to give life. I don't worship the earth, but hey, I take care of it. So, but anyhow, going back to the population growth. God meant for mankind to populate. Do you really realize how much of the United States has no population? None. How about Alaska? I'm not for certain, but I'm guessing the population is only in the 100,000s. Ohio has over 11 million people in it. 11 million people just in Ohio. Columbus, I think, is over 2 million. All in concentrated in one area. God meant for us to go out and possess. You know those mountains? I don't want to live on it, but hey, if you want to live on a mountain, go for it. You know the deserts? I think this is hilarious. Our deserts, look at them. There's evidence of life. There's evidence that there has been life there. There has been lakes. There have been rivers. There have been forests. But you know what we do? We say, well, that's the way it was meant to be. No, somewhere along the line, something happened. We either, somebody cut all the trees down or something. You know, you cut all trees down, rain doesn't gravitate towards you. I've always looked at Israel. I don't know about you, but all the pictures I've ever seen of Israel and reading about the land flowing with milk and honey. That land flows with milk and honey? Oh, it's got rocks. That's all I ever saw. But the Bible talks about forests. See, mankind quit taking care of it. We just cut down all the forests. Europe, when I was over there in Ukraine, I asked them, I said, where are all the big trees at? I said, where are all the big trees? They had the quick-growing poplars, you know, that grow about 30 feet, 30, 40 feet. They might be about that big around, 40, 50 years old. But I said, where are the big trees? You know what I'm talking about. Where are the trees you can't reach around? This is Europe. They said, we don't have any. They've all been cut down because man keeps cutting them down and not replanting them. Again, this is not an Earth Day message, I swear. But the earth is not too unlike our children. We have to take care of them. We have to sow into our children. We have to sow life into our children. We have to teach them values. We have to teach them what's right and wrong. You know, Justin, he's 5 years old, and you know, we're still working on the whole truth issue with him. Did you do this? Now, he's getting better. He's admitting, yes, Daddy, I did it. But if I don't instill into him what the truth is, how's he going to know? How's he going to know what's right and what's wrong? That's why God gave him parents. I've actually seen children, and I watched a show the other night that kind of had a child in it, and they said, we don't want to squelch his personality. So we don't ever bring up what he did bad. You know how far that would go in my house? We barely make it to the car before I'm addressing it. But people are throwing off what God has commanded us to do. Oh, you don't need to correct your children. Who's going to correct? Somebody's going to correct them. Somebody is going to correct your children, I promise you. I'm not saying you take a stick and beat on them every time. There's a few times that might be the appropriate measure. Across the rear end, not the back. Not the head. There's a little strip of fatty muscular tissue right there. That's part of being a parent, right? We sow. Now, as the fathers in this situation, yeah, we didn't carry them. And I will promise you, I never paid much attention to the animal behavior as a child. I mean, my parents, one of them had a great fear of animals, so especially when they got bigger, you know, you stayed up. But I had a neighbor friend, and it's probably a good thing that we didn't continue hanging out as we got older. He ended up in prison, and I was tagging right along with him doing anything. He's the one that was started throwing rocks at his big brother and got me doing it, and there was only one way up or down off the barn roof, and he went up the tree and blocked the exit route, and I had to jump off the roof. But anyhow, they had this field behind their house, and he said there's a big hole back here. He says there's all these bones. I'm 9 years old, okay, just to paint the picture for you. There's all these bones in this big hole. Well, it's where the guy would throw his dead, the cow would die or a horse would die. That's where they threw them in the middle of this huge field. Problem is, there were Charolais bulls and cows in that field too. And I didn't understand about Charolais, period, but they're a little more aggressive than some of the other breeds. But I really did not understand that you don't get into a field or come near a mama with her baby. And he's like, those things will chase you across this field. Well, you know, if you can imagine, 2 9-year-olds, well, a 9-year-old and an 8-year-old running with a cow skull in one arm. He had a horse skull, had a bunch of leg bones. Don't ask me what we were doing with them. I remember we sat them down at the edge of his dad's property, and that's where they're probably still there if they haven't been rotted yet. But we ran for our life because mama didn't like us being near her baby. And I will promise you, and bears are the same way. You don't get near a bear cub. By the way, this will help. If you're in the woods and you see a baby cub, walk away. Mama's nearby and she don't like you. God put that instinct in women to protect their children. That's why I cannot understand for the life of me why there are women today that will, first off, they'll kill their own children. We read about it and hear about it all the time in the news. Or they will allow somebody else to kill their children. That is not right. I agree, that is totally demonic. That is not what God created mankind to do. God created mankind to protect.
his offspring. And I know the men in here, you come near their offspring to cause them harm. And I know people say, well, you're Christians. You're supposed to be docile. I'll show you just how docile I am. You come near to hurt my kids. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then you got family members who are... I said something. We were talking about I was sitting with some people yesterday and was talking, and they started talking about some of the... They turned out to be old wives' tales. I forget what the one was, but the other one said, we always said it was going to rain if you see cats eating grass. I said, what? And I just couldn't help it. I said, you know what? We always said when you see cats eating grass, it's time to shoot a cat. We lived in a country. Cats were not a problem coming up with. People would drop them off all the time. And one guy looked over and said, you're a pastor. You got a sick animal. There are things God put in mankind to take care of. And his offspring are one of them. I promise you, well, you know, Angela and I, we talked from the very beginning about children. First off, she said, I really don't want to work while I'm raising children. While we have children and I'm raising children, I really do not want to work outside of the house. Now, she works over here in the library at the church office, but that's not a real big deal. And God has blessed us. We've been able not for her to have to work. Even when I had my own business, she didn't have to work. She took care of the kids and things of that. But we sat down and we talked and we said, this is where we're going to raise our children. I'm not going to let people just run over them. Not going to let people bully them, pick on them. You know, I know there's people, you know, and who was it I heard the other day? Somebody told their kids, you tell them to suck it up too when they get hurt. It was a woman. Jenny, okay. I was going to say, just because it's Mother's Day don't mean you can't slip your hand up. Leave me hanging here. But the truth of the matter is, oh, that's mean. No, she loves her children and she's telling them, listen, it's just a boo-boo. You got to understand what's a boo-boo and what's serious. Justin, he came running the other day. I don't know what he did, but he just had this little nick on his finger. It was just pink. Daddy, 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 I need a Band-Aid. I need a Band-Aid. I said, for what? I'm bleeding. Again, there was no blood. But he thought there was. I said, no, you're not getting a Band-Aid. I said, it'll be fine. Angela's more compassionate than me. Come back out. He comes back out a few minutes. He's got this great big old Band-Aid on his finger. Yes, he did. See my Band-Aid, Daddy? I said, yeah, I know why I can't find a Band-Aid when I get cut. So I've learned I've got two in my wallet. Keep two. It never fails. You always need one. But that's a part of raising children. You got to toughen them up just a little bit. You know, the thing in us is when somebody comes against our child at school, what do we want to do? We want to run down to the school. We're ready to take on the child, the parents, the principal, everybody. Sometimes you just got to say, you're going to have to deal with this. Because there's going to come a time in life, mama or papa ain't going to be there to help you out. You need to learn how to deal with this. Ask God what to do. Because I know what your papa wants to do right now. And that's not godly. Maybe that's not the thing God wants to have done in this situation right now. But I know any time that we've told our children to pray about it and ask God what they should do, the situation has worked out. They've stood up against bullies.
And they get the respect. And nobody got hurt. But anymore today, it's not fair. We're dealing with an issue right now of that's not fair. And we had a little sermon yesterday on, I don't care if you think it's fair. There's a reason why you're not doing this. And, this is the first time we've dealt with it. I'm sure we'll deal with it again later. Joshua didn't have anybody to compare to. He just took it as that's the gospel and that's that. The other two, what? Well, he gets to do it. Why can't I? We got a 5-year-old that wants to go walking with the 10-year-old. He said, no, I barely trust the 10-year-old right now. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's 11. He turned 11 today. I just got used to him being 10. Yeah, he turned 11 today, which he gets a... I asked him this morning. It was like 6:30 this morning. We said, are you ready? He comes in our room, and Angela actually woke him up, and I said, you ready for that birthday beating, boy? I guess. Like, man, you took all the fun out of it. All I could do is give him a hug, tell him I love him. But see, by teaching your children what's right, what's wrong, how to be a mom. Men, I'm going to throw this at you. How to be a dad. Yeah, I can't tell you how. Guys, listen. Guys cannot tell women how to be a mom. Did y'all figure that out? We don't have a clue. And just like women cannot tell a boy how to be a man. They can tell what a woman would expect in a man. Just like a man can tell his daughter what a husband's looking and expecting in a wife. You can do that. But JD can't tell his girls how to be girls. Thank God. That's for women. Men, you got a boy? He's in your life? Be an example of a godly man to him. And if you got just daughters, see, all I have are boys. But my wife makes sure that she is an example. That just because some pretty little thing come along and batted her eyelids at him, her eyelashes. So like I said, sleep deprivation. Just because she came along, flashed her eyes, he's smitten. Proverbs talks about that. Beware of those. I think I'm coming over here, JD. Because I know how long you two have been together. What, junior high? Something like that? Yeah. Wrong time to agree. Guys, again, be the example of what your daughter really wants in a husband so that the first time she sees some guy, he looks good, turns out he's a raging alcoholic and he beats her. She knows this isn't the first time he raises his hand at her, she gets says, this is not the way my father treats my mother. And she doesn't sit there and say, oh, but he loves me. And I know I would have lots of backup in here. If you show that kind of love, I'll meet you out back. Okay? We'll take turns. We'll tag team. Because that is not love. Well, Pastor, you just talked about spanking your children. That's spanking. That is discipline. It is governed. Okay? My children don't just get wailings. And they don't get spanked just for willy-nilly. As a matter of fact, Jesse hates sentences worse than he hates a spanking. I said, boy, one of these days, first off, you're going to learn how to write fast. He's not in the room. And you're going to learn how to take two pencils together.
I wrote lots of sentences. All right, Art, that's 5,000 sentences. Okay.
I tried three, but three pencils gets a little difficult. Because then you got to cut them down to sharpen them again. But anyhow.
Well, Pastor, you saying if he starts doing that, you're going to...
Hey, if he figures it out on his own, it's ingenuity. All I said is I want the sentences. I don't care how you do them as long as you're not cheating by copying them on the computer. Copy and paste.
They have to be handwritten, by the way, on lined paper, so it's...
But you see, that's what God created men and women to do. You're a mother for a reason. You nurture that child. Ladies, that's why I say it is important that you be a godly example to your sons and to your daughters. And just the same as it is for fathers to be that godly example in their lives. Because also they will... Children have their own mind. You can put it in them, but until they let the coin drop rest of the way in, they're going to have to learn a few things the hard way. I know I did. I remember my dad telling me, just wait till I get home to put the sunroof in. I know more than that old man does. I know how to do this. I've read the book. It'll be done. He'll be so proud of me. I traced it all out there, cut it all out with the jigsaw in my truck, set it up on the roof, and then got inside the truck and set it down there, and I'm looking at it. I traced the wrong side of the ring. So now in the middle of February, I got this big hole in the roof of my truck. It's bad enough the heater didn't work anyhow. And you're trying to drive down the road and there's snow and ice coming in through the top. And you... I later, and Joshua has admitted this. He says, Dad, I've learned maybe you do know a little bit more. He says, I see. I forget what it was he did. He says, I know how you felt now. I told him not to do something. He didn't do it. And he came to me and he says, I think I know how you felt when you cut that sunroof in. I said, yeah. Felt pretty bad at that point. Because I didn't make a bigger sunroof. But see, they're going to learn. And you know what the hard part is? As a parent, is stepping back and letting them learn. Just like the first time you had to let them get hit with a baseball. You didn't want to, but they needed to learn to put the glove up. Or pay attention to the person throwing the ball, more importantly. That was Joshua's deal. We'd be out in the yard playing ball. He remembers this. Have we played ball since then? I don't think so. We're out in the yard playing. And I said, throw me the ball. He'd throw me the ball. And I'd no sooner get the ball and be throwing it back. And he's staring off at the birds in the trees and stuff. So I just... Boom. Just enough to get his attention. I remember the first time my dad taught me to catch pop flies. You really focus on that ball. Because the first time he did one and I didn't focus, it hit this eye. And that hurts. But that's what parents do. You inflict damage and pain on your children. Okay, I got whatever it takes over here, and that'll make them tough over here. And you know what, moms? You're not always going to get it right, are you? You're not always going to get it right. But you know what true humility is? Is being able to say, you know what? I know I didn't get it right. And then go try to rectify it. There's going to be some things you're not going to be able to fix, but you'll be able to fix that. Especially if you're willing to say, hey, I'm sorry, I messed up. I can tell you right now, as a father, I've had to go to my boys. Guys, dad messed up. I am sorry. I blew my top. Sorry for this. That is not the way I should have handled that. I may have been thinking that, but I shouldn't have said that. But I will tell you right now, folks, we have the most gracious Heavenly Father. That is why He gave us His grace. As a matter of fact, I believe, does anybody have the Amplified version? Let me see. Are you still in Luke? Mine is over in my office. Ah, there it is. 28, it says, and he came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one." That means endued with grace. She, by being favored by God, she was given more grace as a mama. Just think about it. She's raising the Son of God. And he had to give her more grace. Because it takes grace. Not to keep kicking yourself because I messed up. Well, if that's the case, you're going to lose the game if you keep focusing on what you messed up on. We had a bad hand, you know, spent yesterday at an invitational track. Oh, we had a bad exchange. Well, if you keep focusing on the bad exchange, that's all you're ever going to do is focus on that exchange, and you're never going to get past it. All right, we had a bad exchange. You know what we do? We run even harder to catch up. Personally, I will tell you, and I've seen this in several meets, and my son knows better, but I don't care if you are behind so far, if you are not out running your hardest. Oh, but that is totally unacceptable. No, the Bible tells us to run the race to win. Didn't tell us to run the race, and even though we're way behind, just doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, laugh and just skip and play games across the finish line. It said to run the race to win. Not just sit around and, well, we're so far behind, what's the point? Yeah, you made a mistake, but just don't give up. That's what we're teaching our children in that. But when you let your child say, hey, you know what? We're so far behind, what's the point? You're teaching them to give up already. You're setting them up to quit. I was taught that. I'll be honest with you. My sister will tell you, we were set up to quit. My boys have this one rule. You can play a sport. Now, I'm not doing sports year-round. But we told them, you can start a sport. You start it, you finish it. You're going to finish. I don't care if you don't like it. You're finishing it. Do you know what? Revelation came to me on July 27th, 1989. By the way, they just shaved my head, introduced me to drill instructors. I'm thinking, dear God, is there any way out of this? No. I belonged to Uncle Sam for 4 years. Hey, that was my first example in never quitting. I wore my uniform up until the day that I was completely checked out. And then I made it a half mile off base and I was changed. But that taught me something, not to quit. There's going to be times I know you're probably going to feel like quitting with your children, raising them. You got little kids. You know, I know some of you got kids about my children's age and younger, whatever. Don't quit. Just because it may get a little difficult, you don't stop training them. Talk to them. Teach them the Word of God. Tell them what the Bible says. I told Joshua the other day, you know, I said, we talk quite often. I said, you know, the Bible says this. This is what we should be doing. Now, this is what we tend to do, but this is what we should be doing. Well, Pastor, I'm just going to tell you right now, we do not have sit-down devotionals all the time around our house. But, I know that sounds so evil. He's a pastor and he does not have forced devotionals. I live it. And when we're standing around talking, we're working on his truck. I can talk to him about things. He can listen to the radio. I can trust him to know the truth from the garbage. Why? Because I'll listen, I'll be standing outside the door and I'll hear the radio go off when some trashy song comes on. Or I'll be in there, maybe we'll be in there working and it'll come on the radio and he says, I just do not like that song. It is so stupid and trashy. Why can he make that decision? Because first off, I've allowed him to make the decision. Here's news flash, let your kids make decisions. When you make all the decisions for them, guess what happens when they turn 18? They realize there's not a thing you can do except kick them out. And they've probably got some friend somewhere that'll let them hang out for a day or two. And grandma and grandpa will usually take them. That's not an option in our house. But I let my kids make decisions and they get to deal with the repercussions. Good or bad, that's how you figure it out. I told you this is the way you should do it. You didn't do it. You deal with the repercussions. I gave you the choice. You know, when it comes to my boys, I know a lot of people force their kids to save money. Part of me wishes I was a little better on that with mine, but I have taught them one thing. You ain't got money to finish your project, do you? That's why I said 2 years ago you should start saving. Not at all. Listen, it's called currency. It's supposed to flow, and you got a life. You work hard for your money. What's the point if you don't ever get to spend it? But you do need to save some. You need to put some money away. I wish that was something I was taught. It's okay if I just be real? Because we're talking about kids here. If they aren't allowed to make the decisions with their friends, who's a good friend and who's a bad friend, you can tell them your opinion. Typically, they'll find out real quick who's a real friend and who's not. Joshua, he had a friend, and you know, for a long time they were okay, and then he started telling some lies on him and treating him bad, and so Joshua just quit hanging out, and then next thing you know, oh, I'm sorry, and so Joshua forgave him, and he came back, and then he started doing the same stinking thing again. And Joshua forgave him. I think he did it one more time. They started hanging out again. And then he turned around and did the same exact thing. And Joshua said, that's it. I will forgive you, but we are not hanging out. We're no longer buds. I'll say hi to you. I'll treat you cordially. But that's it. Friends don't treat friends like it. He got it real quick. He understood what a friend was. And that was not being a friend. I don't remember which message I was talking about. Friends don't dominate each other. Friendship is a partnership. It's equal. Felt like my mic just fell off. You let your kids make decisions. There were people that got mad because I didn't let anybody make the decision for me to join the Marines. Obviously, you can figure out who. My grandmother got real mad. But guess whose decision it was? It's mine. I was nearly 19. I think I could figure out, okay, I'm not getting anywhere here. I've had application after application after application in. And I'm stuck in the middle of Timbuktu with no way to get to a job. So I thought I'd try something that maybe I could do. And again, you know what? Even though people thought it was a bad decision, and I'll tell you right now, for quite a while, I thought it was a bad decision. It turned out to be one of the best decisions I ever made. See, that's sometimes when, as parents, we even have to admit, maybe I didn't see the full scheme of God's plan in your life. Maybe I don't know it all. Maybe I need to trust God a little bit more. Just a part of parenting. And guess what? Doesn't matter what your age is, you got kids, you're still parenting. Because they're still looking to you. They may not come to you all the time, but they're still watching your example. I think examples teach a whole lot more than preaching does. When they see you trying to change in something, that inspires them. Makes them want to step up to that notch too. Like I said, I know the ladies here. And, you know, Angela, she comes from Bible study, and, you know, when there's a group of them talking, and she shares some of the wonderful things. That's what godly women do. They get together, they talk. They encourage each other. Hey, you know what? I had to deal with this. Now, the downside to guys is we don't usually talk a whole lot about problems. It's not always right. You know why? Because that's why we develop nervous tics. It's why we have ulcers. It's why our hairlines retreat. I just happened to turn this way, JD, I'm swear. But it's because we don't talk about it. Oh, they're going to judge me. You probably wouldn't be surprised to know how many guys are probably dealing with the same exact thing. And they're in the same helpless boat. But we don't talk because we're afraid people are going to judge us. I've had guys call me up and want to talk to me, and they just pour their heart out. And I've watched God move in their life. We've prayed afterwards, and God opened doors. But they were able to let it out, because you know what guys tend to do? They hold the problems in. They get real mean. We try to carry something we're not designed to carry. This was supposed to be Mother's Day, but... But you know what? I was going to say, there's another side to mothers. It's called the fathers. You didn't become a mother without a father. So, and any mother who's had to raise her children at any point on her own knows how difficult it is to try to fill both shoes. Especially if you've got boys and girls. I can imagine, I know Brenda, she had boys and girls. Like, I'm thinking, she could probably handle the girls, but the boys? Because y'all ain't figured out, boys are not girls. They do not think like little girls. Okay, I've got boys. Has any of your girls ever been found hanging by their hands from the gas lines in your basement? That's where I found Jesse. I think he was 3 years old. We heard this awful commotion in the basement. And we went down there, and there's this little three-year-old hanging from the gas line by his hands. And there's a pile of empty cardboard boxes under him that he had stacked up and climbed on top of. Little boys do not think like little girls. Little girls probably wouldn't have messed with that. Little boys, oh, pfft. Hey, it's no problem. I'm going to see if I can be king of the world. Climb up here. There was a time in life I couldn't get Joshua to go up on the roof of the garage to get a toy he threw off, even though I'm standing right there. Oh, no. But now, he jumps at the opportunity. I'll go up on the roof. Hey, he got over it.
Little boys, it takes both. It really does. And you've got an even better chance when you're being a godly example all the way around. In your relationship with each other, your relationship with God. Guys, I'll tell you, they need to hear you talking about God. I would say mamas usually talk about God more. It's been my experience. But guys, they need to hear you talking about the Word. They need to hear you talking about what God has done and what God is doing and where God has taken you from. And you know what? And it does not matter if you did not have that example in your life of what a godly man is. You still have Jesus Christ in your life. Right there is the only one. He said he'd become the father to the fatherless. And I think when he was talking about that, he was talking about that example that you need in your life. Well, I'm done. You see, we're going to pray and dismiss here, and I think we'll. You can come back in. We'll go out and. I've got Sandy's direct phone number now in my cell phone, so. The reason we have to go outside is, there's no signal in a double steel building. Only when you forget to turn your phone off during service will it ring. It's the only time you can't dial out or anything. Pat and I, when we were working, praying, we were always charging our phones because the thing's constantly roaming, searching for a signal. So hopefully my battery's not gone dead. Sitting back there, but. We're going to go out there. Like I said, we just have to go out to the pad in the front, and I'll call down there, and we'll wish her a happy Mother's Day. And we talked to her Friday night. And like I said, she says, I told Jim I'm going to be at church Sunday. And I told Angela I really appreciated her confession of faith, but she needed the rest, and I knew she wasn't going to be here today. But so, like I said, we'll pray. And there are, if you look at them, some of you probably, you ladies were probably checking them out when you're up here. Some of them are pink with a little darker center, and then those are the magenta ones. So, weed eater. You ever had a weed eater taken to you? I think she might. I know you don't run it over your foot. I know you don't get it over the top of your foot. You don't weed eat with sandals. I found out the hard way. All right, let's stand. Mamas, I can tell you, as an offspring, as a child, as a son, you are appreciated. You may not get told enough, but you are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord God, that you have adopted us, and regardless of what examples we've had in our lives, the examples we've been, Father, you can turn everything around. And not, Lord, I just thank you that your grace is operating in our lives, that we can overcome our past. And Father, that we can have a new future and a better present. Lord, we thank you for all of our mothers. And we truly do ask that you bless them, not just today, but each and every day. Lord, with more grace, with more mercy, more love. And Lord, I thank you for your people. Lord, I pray your blessings upon them.
upon their businesses, Father. Those who are self-employed, bring business into their businesses. Father, those who are employed by somebody else, Father, that you, because they are there, you bring blessing into that business. Lord, I thank you for your word and your freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.